Real people, Will.
Yes, real people that I created in my head, okay?
Incoming transmission. Engage house party protocol. Mark 4, powering up. Mark 17, powering up. Mark 44, powering up. All suits are online. Welcome to house party protocol.
Power up suits and welcome in to another episode of House Party Protocol. My name is Will, and with me today is a very special guest, the one and only David Kirby from the Inspiring Monologue. How's it going, man?
Hello there. Going well. How's it going with you?
Oh, you know, it's going pretty good. I went to the gym this morning before doing this podcast, and let me just say that I got the deep burn down in my sweet thighs going.
The deep burn.
The deep burn. It's the deepest of burns.
Keep your hands off the verticoli.
Little Blades of Glory action there for anyone. Underrated, still terrible, but underrated movie.
Oh, it cracks me up.
Yeah, it's no, it's good stuff. So I was going through my cards, right? Like all the cards that we have, all the character cards we have. And I don't sleeve my character cards. Do you sleeve yours?
Yes. I've just got cheap photo sleeves, really floppy, but they give a bit of protection.
Yeah, well, I think I need to do that. But at the same time, I'm looking at this stack of cards here. This is a ton of characters. Like, we have so many characters in this game. It's insane. There's so many cards here. Like, this stack, if you lay it flat, it's easily... I don't know from the metric system perspective, but it's easily like a half inch thick.
No one knows what that is. What's that in real measurement?
In real measurement, probably, I don't care.
It measures to freedom.
Exactly. Yes, this is about to half of a freedom right here. Yeah, that's right.
That's all you need.
That's so good. Yeah. So anyways, moving on after we talked about our huge stacks, we are going to be having a different discussion today than I think we've had recently on House Party Protocol. And there have been no new character spoilers as of the time of recording. So we're going to talk about some tactics and maybe some strategy stuff today. And one of the things that probably the biggest topic we're going to talk about is choosing your squad. So, David, a lot of people talk about roster building and how to maximize their roster construction to come up with a particular game plan, right?
Yep.
So what I'm thinking is nobody ever really talks about how to choose characters from within your roster. So I think that that's an important thing in this game that often gets overlooked, and kind of how to maybe look at what your opponent is playing and bringing to the table to have a little gamesmanship and say, okay, well, they're bringing this, and this is the crises that have been brought out, so maybe I'm gonna pick based on that, and having a little bit of that discussion. And I want to go ahead and preface this with, it's going to be a little wonky of a discussion because we don't have like specific prepared rosters necessarily, and everybody's roster construction is going to be different. But I do think that there's still a good general strategy discussion that we can have around this topic. What do you think?
Certainly. Chatting about MCP is no bad thing.
It is certainly not a bad thing. And I do have one of the experts here with me, so thanks.
Greg's
for that.
Here.
No, no.
Nate? Is no. That you, Nate? Are you there?
Yeah, he's listening somewhere in the future. I'm sure of it.
Somewhere with hairs on the back of his neck are tingling.
Exactly. He's got the Peter tingle going.
Nice.
So,
I mean, he makes to modify his crits.
Exactly. So another thing that I need to mention today is I had mentioned before on the last episode of, I believe, the After Party, that this episode is officially our 1 year anniversary of House Party Protocol. And exactly. It's pretty exciting. I think that there's like the teeniest bit of fanfare that we can have with this, maybe just the teeniest bit. But either way, we were supposed to have kind of a bigger episode with Greg and Matt and kind of get the band together. It would have been the first time that we actually got the original people for the show all together on the show. But unfortunately, life happens and we just had to reshuffle some things. But that show will happen at some point, and when it does, it'll be great. But that's still not going to stop us from doing another thing that I said we were going to do, David. Do you remember what I mentioned?
Is it a giveaway?
It's a giveaway. That's right. So I was really excited when we got to 700 likes on our Facebook page. That's just, that's something that I never thought would happen. We, apparently people give a shit.
Just the one.
Yeah, just the one person gives a crap, but they told 699 other people.
That's it. How many Facebook accounts do you have, Will?
Exactly. I have about 699 Facebook accounts. Don't judge me. But I'm really excited for that. So in a way to kind of give back again, because I know we do giveaways a few times, but as a way to give back, we're going to give away a Green Goblin model.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, so everybody knows how much I love the gobs, so we're gonna heap some gobs onto somebody else.
Nice. Gobbing all over everyone.
Yeah, we're just gonna goblin gush all over the place, and someone out there is gonna get a free gobby, and it's gonna be good. It's gonna be a good time. So how you're gonna wanna enter that and everything, I'll talk about in just a little bit, but stay tuned and let's just dive into it. What do you say?
Sounds good to me.
All right. So, David, what, when you're looking at choosing a squad, what kind of factor do you use more than anything? Is it, do the crisis specifics come into it, or do you look at what your opponent has and let that also influence it?
I think for me personally, it's going to be different for other people, of course. I like to look at what type of game am I playing.
Yeah.
So, am I at a tournament and I'm wanting to be competitive? Or am I introducing someone to the game, in which case I might not want to steamroll them within two rounds? Or am I just playing with my wife and we've got new characters that we both want to try out? That kind of thing, I think, is probably the first thing we should ask ourselves.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, I think those are very good questions. So let's start it with a more casual look. So if you're just playing casually, first of all, here's another question. If you're just playing casually, do you even bother with the idea of a roster first?
No, I never have done in the past, really, because it's me that provides all the models for most of the people I play with. So it's just a case of, guys, pick an affiliation you want to play, grab however many characters, here's the threat level or the point level, and just work to that.
Okay, yeah, now that makes sense. I do something very similar. Especially when I'm playing really casually, I'm just like, hey, let's just put some models on the table and have some fun.
Yeah.
You know? Exactly. So I think that when it comes to that, I still try to synergize at least a little bit when I'm picking out a squad in that idea. So like, for instance, let's look at some of the new toys we have with the spider foes. So I'm definitely going to want to play spider foes. So I know that I'm going to want to have that affiliation running.
Yeah.
And that automatically means Green Goblin, Dr. Octopus, probably Venom. But you could get away with maybe taking one of those Doc Ock or Venoms out and putting in a Winter Soldier because of his rogue agent and stuff like that. So just, you know, when you're doing that and you're playing casually, one of the things that I would recommend is, and I'm sure you do this as well, is making sure that your opponent, especially if they're new to the game, understands that they want that affiliation bonus.
Yeah.
So now let's look at it from a more slightly competitive perspective. And if you are, you know, you have your roster built, and usually I know for me, when I build my roster, I build to kind of have flexibility. Like I want to not be locked into one particular strategy or another. And I like to be able to say, okay, here's kind of what my basis is. For instance, my base would be like an Avengers base and maybe a Cabal base. Like those two would be like my cornerstones, and then I could maybe throw in a Wakanda or maybe throw in now a Web Warriors or something like that to kind of add that little bit of extra flexibility. Is that kind of like something you would do as well?
Yeah, I think so. one question is, I've forgotten the question that I just had in my brain. This one? Yes, that's the one. So are you more focused on a dual affiliation or are you a single affiliation?
So when I build a roster, and I know we said this is going to be more squad, but it will.
True. We'll get there.
Well, yeah. When I build a roster, I definitely build a roster dual affiliation because I want to have, like I said, I'm my play style, I guess, is more about that flexibility and about being able to answer the questions versus asking the questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What about you?
I don't know that I have a set play style. I'll play any team, but I think the thing I concentrate on the most is making sure that both players involved enjoy the game, which might be a bit of a strange thing, especially in a tournament setting, but I'd feel awful if I played like a super amazing game and my opponent had an awful time because he was just getting pounced and thrown, because I've had it happen to me and it's really demoralizing. Maybe that's just how I feel about it. I'd rather have a game where I lose, but we both had a really good back and forth.
Oh yeah, no, I feel you on that. I've definitely been involved in those kind of games, especially with, now may they rest in peace, Guild Ball. that's one that I definitely had some trouncings in. I went to a tournament a while back and just got demolished. But I still had a good time. But with this game, it's definitely a little different. Like, there's so many rules, and there, like I mentioned earlier, there's so many characters now that at times it's kind of difficult to have in mind what all your opponent can do. So if you go into it and you're not fully prepared for something, let's use Venom as an example, like a We Are Venom, So Many Snacks. If you're not at least aware that that can happen, it's going to potentially be a really bad time.
But then I guess if you're showing up at a tournament, you've got to expect that people are going to want to really try and beat you as quickly as possible.
Exactly. So, yeah, it's a double-edged sword. If I go to a tournament, I'm definitely still wanting to have a good time, but also still wanting to kick major butt.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, anyways, yeah. So back to the original question of dual affiliation or not. So yeah, it's weird with a roster because I feel like you can squeeze three affiliations into a well done roster, but you kind of have to go into it with a plan. And the way that I think that this game has been built so far, and I don't know if you agree with this, is there's a lot of parity out there right now. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I think that there's a lot of strong things, but those strong things also have their weaknesses.
Yeah, there doesn't appear to be any one thing that's absolutely dominating.
Right. Like, I think that I could walk into a tournament with nothing but a Guardians of the Galaxy focused list. Like I'm going to play Guardians every time, but maybe I've got a lot of different models that I'm going to slot in there. I can walk into a tournament with that and feel competitive and maybe win. I mean, this is a dice game after all.
And that's part of where the balance comes in, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Even a Black Widow can take down a Hulk.
It's exactly, like, it's possible. She's probably going to get smacked, but you know, maybe a Hulk sitting on that last two health and then here comes a Black Widow just do-do-do-do-do, whap, you know?
That's the noise she makes. I've heard it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Oh, I've definitely, like, that noise happens, like, do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
She's spinning a pocket watch on a chain and strutting along.
Exactly. I have one friend that I play with that it's very enjoyable. Every time a character moves along the board, he picks them up off the board, puts the movement tool down, holds it down, and then picks the character up and then, like, flips them around and makes noises like whoosh, 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 whoosh. It's very enjoyable to play with. So if you haven't tried that, I highly recommend that you pick the models up and make little flippy noises or flying noises as they're moving around. It's quite thematic and fun.
Excellent. Does he do Iron Man? Like,
definitely.
I guess that'd be good.
Oh yeah, pretty much. If there's a noise, he will make it.
What does he make for Venom?
He's just like, you know, yeah. Oh, that's too much. This is a family-friendly podcast. Not really. It's labeled explicit.
That's okay. That's a fun time.
Yeah. So now let's talk about picking that squad from within. Let's just think about one affiliation right now, okay? So let's start with the crisis. So when you're at a game and you're playing a little bit competitive, you've got your roster ready, you've done your crisis picking, and then everyone goes to pick their squad, and it's all done in secret. And yep. I personally don't love that format. I would rather see a counter pick drafting type format personally, but
yeah,
I get it. So anyways, we've got our crisis. Let's say we're playing a 17-point game. We've got the Riots Spark over Extremis, and we've got the Panic Grips the City as efforts to continue, evacuation efforts continue. So we've got the Citizens at 19 threat and the Riots Spark Extremis at 3 threat, or at 17 threat, but we're playing the 17 threat game. So yeah, those both set up very interestingly, I think. Like, the setup for Extremis is map D, so it's four corners, essentially. That's the way, I guess, you kind of look at that, right? And it's, isn't that how that one works? Yeah, it's kind of like a, if you've got to your deployment zone, it's perpendicular four corners of the deployment zone.
Yeah. Diamond.
Yes, diamond. That's the word I was looking for.
Like Neil himself.
It's a square on its side. So then you've got the citizens, and that's a rectangle, essentially.
That is.
So all these objectives are going to kind of be somewhat close to each other, and you're going to kind of be able to get to all of them in some way or another. And with citizens especially, you want characters that are going to be able to get to that six power so that you can turn them in for the two VPs.
Yep.
So now let's talk about our squad. What kind of a squad would you want in a configuration like that?
Well, let's see. You want to try and get as many citizens as possible, don't you?
Exactly.
So you can score the 1 point each round and score the 2 points when you've got enough power. So you want people who are mobile, and you'll want people who have a decent stamina so that they can advance into your opponent's side of the board and take a bit of the beating whilst they're trying to get the citizens, or dole out a bit of a beating to make other people drop citizens so you can pick them up.
Yeah, I agree. I think that kind of one of the things, like, let's say that you're running an Avengers and Cabal list, so you're definitely going to have a Captain America or Red Skull. If you're running a Cabal list, you're going to have MODOK in it, probably. MODOK's going to be in a lot of lists, let's just be honest. But
if you're running any list, you should have a MODOK in it.
Right? It should be, yeah. He should be almost universal. He's pretty good. So so if you're running a list like that, you've got those kind of two affiliations running there. You're definitely going to want, like, the way I would set that up is, like, I would want to have, if I'm running Cabal, MODOK and a fast mover kind of on one side. That way you could go grab the citizen with the fast mover, maybe a defensive kind of person. Let's see, maybe...
Crossbones.
Crossbones, definitely. Yes, he'll get there eventually. Just let MODOK gamma launch him. Can that happen? Oh, wait, no, it can't. Oh, darn. Just let somebody drop him off.
Yes, perfect.
But maybe you put Red Skull next to MODOK over there on that side of the board, or close to MODOK. Like, I like the Red Skull play where he teleports MODOK forward without MODOK having to do too much. So
it's a beautiful thing.
It is. I like that. But maybe, so let's say maybe Proxima Midnight.
Mm.
If you have her in your squad, or if we're talking about in affiliation Cabal people, let's see.
Zemo is fast.
Zemo, exactly. Yep. I like Zemo. Killmonger's not fast. He's not long move, but he does have a charge, which I like to be able to steal someone's citizen and potentially give himself a good bit of power.
Ooh, sure.
So I do like the idea of a MODOK and Zemo part over there. So like you said, though, I think that with the citizens, you want to be able to have someone that's a fast mover and someone that's a heavy hitter.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what you have to look at with these models and with these crisis combinations, is there's so many and they're so variable. It's what do you want to do and what's going to get you the most victory points and get you the closest to success, the closest to victory at the end of the day. And yeah. with a combination like this, you got to think the extremist consoles aren't really going to do the trick.
Like, no.
They're going to be a slow scoring. You're going to get maybe two around, but really what you want to focus on is those citizen tokens. So having characters that can tank some damage, get in and get out. I think you mentioned Zemo. He's a great example of a character for this crisis because he's so fast. He can steel rush for only two power, attack someone, and then move away medium.
Mm.
So, yeah, I really like that. Another bit of fun character tech on this, I think, is the Web Warriors. I think if you're running a Web Warriors roster, having your base Web Warriors, maybe minus Venom. So you've got the two Spider-Men and Spider-Gwen, right? And then you throw a Zemo in there.
Saucy.
That's a fast moving list and a pretty defensive one.
Yeah.
Considering the affiliation.
Oh, for sure. I mean, if you did end up with Venom in there, you've always got Lethal Protector as well, haven't you?
Exactly, exactly. And Venom, I mean, he could hang back on one of those extremist consoles and just do some damage from there, too. I mean, he does have a range 3 attack.
Yeah, and given the layout of these objectives, you're not too far between a citizen and an extremist console, so you can be using the extremist console to heal people up around him.
Exactly, and that kind of, the extremist console definitely mitigates his 2 energy defense.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Another character that I kind of like in a configuration like this is if I'm running a Spider-Foes themed roster, I really like Green Goblin and I really like Venom as a drop-off character because Venom's going to be gaining power. Now, the problem that you're going to run into is if on the other side of the table your opponent has a lot of energy stuff, then Venom's vulnerable. But dropping off Venom to grab a citizen and hoping that he gets powered up to be able to score that citizen quickly, I think is going to be huge and could be a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, the Web Warriors and the Spider-Foes are going to be two really exciting affiliations to play, aren't they, when everything's finally released for them?
Oh, yeah, dude. I can't wait to see what Carnage, Mysterio, and Kingpin look like with this affiliation. I mean, it's going to be insane.
Oh, Mysterio, tough model. Got to be wonderful, hasn't it?
It has to be. It has to be. And like, I'm hoping that we get some spoilers for that soon. I'm really curious. This is total off topic, but I'm really curious, like, what the release schedule is going to look like. If we know we're getting Strange and Ghost Rider, Strange Wong and Ghost Rider next month, and they said that the X-Men are coming out in the fourth quarter of 2020.
We set the clock.
So, like, at what point are we in the fourth quarter? That's October, right? So somewhere between October and December, we're going to get X-Men. And are we getting the Daredevil, Bullseye, Kingpin pack somewhere in there? Are we going to be getting Mysterio and Carnage somewhere in there? Or are those still way further down the line? I'm just really curious about that.
Yeah. Angela and Enchantress and She-Hulk.
Yes. Yes, exactly. There's so much good stuff. That's wonderful. Anyway, speaking of good stuff that I think could be a very interesting thing, and we're talking about this squad, so we know that Ghost Rider's coming, and we haven't gotten a full reveal of his card yet. They did a panel to play that sounds really interesting. I highly encourage you to go read that on the Atomic Mass Games website. But they did recently mention something that I think is relevant to our squad discussion, and that was that he's a medium mover.
Mm.
So I know that the Rocket Boots drop-off combo is very popular. It's very popular with my friend Flex, Andrew. Those of you that play the TTS should know him. He loves that combo, Rocket Boots drop-off. And if you're telling me that a 65mm base has a medium movement and you can throw Rocket Boots on it, whew. Yeah. That's nasty, and I love it, and a Rocket Boots drop off with, like, I mean, I think he's going to be size 4, so dropping off like a MODOK or something? I mean, what the heck?
I think he's a three. I'm sure they mentioned it.
Well, if he's a three, then thank God MODOK can't be dropped off, but still.
Yes, here we go. Riding around on an infernally modified bike increases his size to three.
There you go. Whew. Okay, good. I was worried for a second there.
In your best Gimli voice.
I was worried for a second there.
Three? I myself am sitting pretty on three.
Three? Classic. So, anyways, yeah. So I think that a character like that is going to bring some really fun things when talking about what you want in your squad. And that's another thing we have to talk about with our squad is the tactics cards we bring. Now, I know that Drop Off and Brace for Impact are probably the two most ubiquitous tactic cards right now. And I love those tactic cards. I think they're great. But do you feel like you have to bring those?
No, I never have. I mean, as I say, I'm not particularly competitive or tournament focused, and we've got so many tactic cards in the game now. So why not bring some that you very rarely play with? I mean, there's seven spaces when you're not including Battle Lust, the
True.
Greatest tactic card of all.
I know you do love some Battle Lust.
Yeah, I have my reasons.
Yeah.
Not everyone might agree, but I have my reasons.
You have some reasons. They might not be the best reasons, but they're reasons nevertheless, right?
And they're my reasons.
And that's all that matters.
Exactly.
So
it's my game to play and they're my reasons.
That's right. And look, you can make sure that you tell all those new people that you play with that when you bring them into the game, you're like, look, this is the best card in the game, so make sure you use it. And they'll never know the difference.
That's it. Like, other people will say no. They'll tell you about Odin's Blessing. It's rubbish. Battle Lust. Battle Lust. Looking at it right now, it's beautiful.
Yeah, I will say it has some of the coolest card art. I really love the card art. That Carnage, like diving in there, it's so great.
Have a single solitary tear running slowly down my cheek.
It's a tear of joy.
That's it. Exactly.
So,
enough about Battle Lust.
Enough about Battle Lust. Let's move on to real relevant cards. Did I just trigger you? Trigger warning? Is that what happened?
Dare you, sir.
I know. But so...
God push.
Yes. So I think that with tactic cards, like Brace for Impact, especially, like look at your opponent's roster. If your opponent's roster has a lot of stuff that's going to throw, and honestly, you should have stuff that's going to do throws, but if your opponent's roster has a lot of stuff that you have to worry about doing throws, Thor, MODOK, Hulk, Valkyrie, even though Valkyrie's throw's not great, like Vision, you know, characters like that that have good throws and especially probably affordable throws, and especially with Thor, he has it on his base attack. Like, you're going to want Brace for Impact. But if you're going up against a Web Warriors team and they don't have a lot of characters that do a lot of throws, or maybe the only characters they have that do throws are Venom and maybe Vision. Like, let's say that those are the two big characters in that whole roster that have a throw. Well, maybe you don't have to take Brace for Impact, which I know is blasphemy. But
begone, sir.
Exactly. What am I thinking? But if it's something that you don't really have to worry about too much, then maybe you don't really need to think about it. And I think that that's part of when you're picking your squad. So not only do you want to look at the crisis, like we talked about, you want to look at it and decipher, like, what am I trying to do with this combination of crisis, like we talked about earlier? But you're going to look at your opponent's roster. Like, when I went to a tournament, this was way back in like February or something. It's obviously been a while and I haven't really played in the TTS stuff, but I want to. That's a whole other discussion. But in the final round, I looked at what my opponent had in their roster and I said, okay, here's the best combinations that I would make out of what he had. And he ended up doing a BDT style list. It wasn't exactly that, but it was similar. And I'm glad that that's what I thought was, like, I thought that that's what would happen is that he would bring Thor and Hulk and Cap and try to do some shenanigans with that. And I've been living off of that win for like 6 months now.
You haven't eaten. haven't eaten in months.
I haven't eaten in months. I've just been slowly sustaining myself on the joy I got from that victory.
Nice.
But anyways, so like it's just I think that looking at the opponent, what the opponent's bringing to the table is important, and you have to make your choices based on that.
Yeah, but it ties into what we were saying before, how there's no one thing that's dominating the game.
Yeah.
So no matter what your opponent's got, somewhere in the pool of characters and tactics cards, there's an answer and a response to that, and hopefully it's something you've got in your roster.
Yeah, hopefully. So real quick, before we get too much further into this discussion, though, I want to say, how do you get into this giveaway, David? Well, what we're doing is we're giving away the Green Goblin model, the villain pack. You know, you could say hero pack, but I'm saying villain pack because he's an awesome villain.
Hero, indeed.
Exactly. He is the hero we wanted.
Character pack.
There you go. Character pack. We are giving away the Green Goblin character pack, and it's a pretty simple way to enter. All you have to do is like our Facebook page, comment on the Facebook post for the giveaway. It will be accompanying this podcast post. And then also make sure to, if you want a bonus entry, send us a message with the secret code. And this week's secret code is going to be Spider Foes. So send us a message with that secret code on Facebook, Spider Foes, and you will have a bonus entry. So if you just like and comment, you get one entry, and then extra entries abound. And what we're going to do is we're going to run this contest for 4 weeks. So this episode, you'll be listening to this, hopefully, on August 20th. So then we're going to have the day that we close the giveaway out is going to be September 9th, and we will announce the winner on the episode that comes out September 10th. So not quite exactly 4 weeks, but close enough. Close enough. The day we're recording this.
Enter. Do it.
Enter. Do it. So I know, David, you're going to be entering. It's going to be exciting.
I will be entering, of course.
And yeah, I hope to see a whole bunch of people there. We got a ton of interactions on our last one. I'm hoping to go even further this time. I'm really excited for this. I love Green Goblin, and hopefully you guys will too. And like I said, September 9th, like the Facebook page, comment on the post, and then also for bonus entries, send us messages with secret codes. You'll get, I believe, 3 secret codes in all. Ooh. Before this is all said and done. So, yeah.
Everyone loves him. Everyone wants him. Just enter the competition.
That's right. Enter the competition for your chance to win. Yeah.
Coming soon in September. Green Goblin.
Green Goblin, right to your mailbox.
Build and paint yourself.
Yeah. Only $5. $5.
$5.
Even though it's not $5. It's totally free for you to enter. So now, back to the show. So let's talk about maybe what kind of weaknesses you can expect to go up against with a squad that is Web Warriors focused. Like, what would be a weakness, a counter squad to that, do you think?
Well, Venom's in Web Warriors, and Venom's got an obvious weakness, which is his energy defenses.
Yes, absolutely. So Venom is a liability in that, I think. But I think that Venom is one of those characters where, so if I'm building it, I'm currently working on constructing like a Web Warriors Spider Foes roster, just because that's what I want to play right now. And I'm going to have Venom in the roster, but I honestly don't know how often I'm going to field Venom. If the point costs are down, so if we're playing a Gamma Wave, maybe a Cosmic Invasion, maybe a Mystic Wakandan Herb, so 15, 16 threat game, I don't know if I'm going to bring Venom, because what I want to do if I have Venom is keep him alive. And while he can tank some damage, it's only so useful. You know what I mean? And you still have to worry about it. So
sure.
I think I would want to have an Okoye in that list, or maybe Captain America. I don't know. I don't know if I want Captain America in that list or not, but Venom's a liability. Let's say that you're running a squad and you don't have Venom in it, because okay, you've got your big three, your three spider people. if you will. The weaknesses of those characters, I think, it's kind of hard because they get to roll those defense dice, those extra defense dice. I think that their weaknesses come in from just trying to control their movement in some way or another, right?
Yeah. And Miles has one weakness that's printed on a rectangle for us, which is marked for death, which might as well just be called no Miles for a round.
Yeah, that's I agree with that. Now, what makes you think that marked for death is such a good counter to Miles?
Well, let's look at it. I've got it here. It says it costs one power each, and two allied characters within range 5 of the same enemy can play it. So you're going to be able to trigger that most times in the game, aren't you?
Oh, yeah.
And then it says, for the round, the enemy character loses and cannot gain stealth. Well, Miles has got stealth, so now you can attack him from any range you like. His speed becomes short, so he's no longer moving medium. And he can't modify or reroll his defense die, which is everything Miles wants to do, really.
Exactly. So I think that is a very good card for that. But here's the question, though, is, okay, this goes back to a roster construction perspective. How likely is Marked for Death, do you think, to be in a roster right now?
Well, from the looks of chat on Discord and Facebook, it seems Web Warriors are going to be a really popular affiliation to play. And Miles is such a strong character as well with some of his abilities. So I can imagine him showing up not just in Web Warriors, but in lots of different affiliations. So maybe just sticking Marked for Death in your rosters for the next few weeks and months might be wise.
I actually agree with you. I think that we're about to see kind of a shift in the way the games are done. And I think that's a good thing. I think that this game hasn't really lent itself to one particular meta overall, other than maybe just the drop-off play. Yeah, the people using drop-off all the time is probably the play that I've seen more than anything, and probably the closest thing to a meta play that we have right now.
Sure.
So I think that seeing a lot of Web Warriors in the near future and having a card that almost single-handedly takes one of those characters off the game or out of the game for at least a round, I think is really strong. So, you know, I think that's a really good, really strong card to use for them.
Yeah. I mean, how can you ignore an attack that says after the attack is resolved, the target character drops all objective tokens they're holding? That's huge.
It is
game changing.
Super huge, especially when you talk about the citizens, you know, the citizens crisis that we're talking about here. So if Miles goes into a character that's already activated and that character is sitting on 3 or 4 power, you know, that character's probably hoping that they're going to get that power soon to be able to score that citizen. Well, next thing you know, boom, you've dropped that citizen. Maybe Miles picks it up. Maybe he doesn't. But now that citizen's on the ground, that character has to spend another power to pick it back up. And then hopefully score it later. It slows the game down so much and changes so many things within the game. It's denial of victory points and also potentially additionally scoring victory points. It's huge. And if you can play this card, this Marked for Death card, I mean, it's a hard counter. And I think that you play Marked for Death, but then that's only one card and that only is for one round. So if you play Marked for Death, when you play Marked for Death, do you have to daze or KO Miles on that round, do you think?
Interesting. You know, I'm not sure. More experimentation required, I think.
I agree. I think that I haven't really figured out what the counter is to Web Warriors per se, other than something like this with Miles. But I think if you're playing against Web Warriors, thing you have to do is focus down Miles. You have to somehow get Miles off the table.
Yeah.
Because he brings so much, like you said, his attack that allows him to make you drop an objective. That's one thing that he brings to the table that's super good. His affiliation, his leadership, great responsibility. He brings that to the table that allows all of the other Web Warriors to re-roll defense dice. And yeah, Peter Parker's got the... and re-roll skulls if they're within the the, you know, if they're contesting an objective or holding an objective. So Peter Parker already has the ability to re-roll with his spider sense, and so does Miles, but allowing it to stack on that, I feel like that the counter to Web Warriors is just to go hard into Miles.
Yeah. And another counter really is someone we've already mentioned, which is Venom.
Yeah.
Because of his symbiotic instinct superpower.
Exactly.
When Venom's attacking, the defending character can't modify their dice, which is pretty crippling for the Web Warriors because their defenses aren't spectacular and their stamina is not spectacular.
Exactly. And that was going to be the next character I mentioned.
Sorry.
No, you're good. That's perfect. And I think that is something that's why I think that Venom's going to be huge. And I think that when you're looking at your opponent's roster, if you see a Web Warriors there, you almost have to assume they're going to play him. And if I've got Venom in my roster, which I think, like you said earlier, we're going to see a ton of Web Warriors very soon. So put Venom in your roster. I think that there was a time, like when he first came out, he was everywhere. Everybody was running Venom. It was tons of fun. But I think he quickly fell out of favor because of his glaring weakness, like we said. But
it was perfect though for getting your Wakanda team up to 15.
Oh man, yeah, he was everywhere. And when you pair him in Wakanda, putting him with a Shuri is great. But the problem, so his glaring weakness, he actually has two now that I think about it: his energy defense and his abysmal movement.
Yeah, he's quite slow.
He's terribly slow. But if you're able to, and it's funny that this is. What I'm about to say. I think that Spider Foes is the best counter to Web Warriors.
It's almost like it was designed.
Right? I mean, it's like someone said, hey guys, we've got these spider people over here. Who could fight against them very well? I don't know. Maybe the Spider Foes. Perfect.
Oh, it's going to be great, isn't it? Get our city boards out, Web Warriors versus Spider Foes.
It's going to be wonderful.
What a treat.
Exactly. But anyways, I digress. I think that the Spider Foes is a really good counter to Web Warriors because they get Venom in affiliation. And Venom, like you said, his symbiotic instincts are... It's so good. You can't modify dice. Like, that takes out the entire thing right there. And he's the only character that has something like that, right?
I think so. We've got that many characters now. All our abilities don't stay in my head for long enough.
Exactly. I think he is. And even if he isn't, the only, like, he's the only character that does that. And I don't think there's any cards that really do that either.
I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Another thing I think that we want to think about with this is the condition game as well. I think that the Web Warriors are very susceptible to the condition game. And right now, we only have one character that does incinerate. And of course, it's the Spider Foe, everybody's favorite character, the Green Goblin.
And just painting him.
That's right. Yes. I can't wait to see. Make sure to post your paint job on the Facebook page because I want to see that.
I will. I've just got to let him dry and then varnish him and stick on a bit of stuff on the base. Like so many dubstep artists, it's all about the bass.
All about the bass. Mark Fielder.
Sure, that's an artist.
Yeah. Mark Fielder will love to hear you say that. For me, I'm like, basses don't count. I call a model done as long as the character's done.
Fair enough.
But anyways, so, I totally lost it now.
Sorry, conditions.
Conditions, the condition game. So I actually really like the condition game going into Web Warriors. So an affiliation that plays with that is the Guardians. I think the Guardians also with Star-Lord and his element gun and stuff like that, and the Judgment condition, those kind of things, I think play very well into the Web Warriors. And we only have one character right now that has the incinerate condition, and it's Green Goblin. And that condition specifically plays very well into Web Warriors.
That's remove one die from your defense rolls, isn't it?
It is. So if I've got a roster, or if I'm at a game and I think that my opponent's going to play Web Warriors, and I've got a roster of Spider Foes and something else, but let's say I've got a Thanos in my roster, because I think Thanos is another character that's in a lot of rosters right now. Yeah. I like him in Spider Foes because of his Death's Decree, being able to add dice to the pumpkin bombs from Green Goblin makes it that much more likely that you're going to get that incinerate condition on those characters. So, I just think that's kind of a fun little synergy you can do. But the problem with putting a Thanos in your squad is that if you play something that is a 15 or even 17 threat, 17 you can get away with it. 15 threat, though, it makes it really hard to put Thanos on the board.
6 threat is a lot of character points.
Yeah, and let's just, like, a 6 threat Thanos plus a 4 threat Goblin. I mean, you got to figure out now how to stay in affiliation with one of them, whichever one you're choosing, and be competitive with likely only 3 activations.
True. But you'll have Proxima Midnight. She fires out a lot of conditions, and she's really fast, so she can chase them down.
That's true. She is really strong. I really like her a lot. I also like Doc Ock, too. Even though he only moves medium, I think that big base medium movement is pretty strong.
Yeah, especially with Wall Crawl, because he can just jump over everything, can't he?
Exactly. So I really like that as a counter to Web Warriors, the conditions. And you put a slow on him.
Hawkeye is the man against Web Warriors.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I think Hawkeye is a strong play there. So this all comes back to when you're choosing your squad, looking at what your opponent is going to be playing and making those choices there. So not only do we want to look at the crisis, like what do we want to do? So let's go back to our citizens and our extremists example. We want to be able to put a heavy hitter, on one side, and then someone that can go and get those citizens. So I'm thinking if your opponent's going to play Web Warriors, they want to play fast. They want to get as many citizens as possible and then deny as much as possible. So I'm thinking a Hawkeye, like you said. If I'm going to play maybe Spider Foes or Avengers, I think I want a Hawkeye in there.
Why not? He's mobile. He can throw out any condition you like. Well, not any condition you like, but choice of 4.
Right.
Superpowers are cheap. He's pretty much a self-contained unit.
Yep. And if I'm running an Avengers list, there's no reason you don't have Hawkeye in there.
For sure. He's super strong.
Yeah. And I think that Hawkeye is one of those characters that I know right now he's kind of everywhere, but like he's really easy to forget about when you're kind of putting it all together, right?
Yeah, certainly.
So yeah, I just think that it's kind of a hard discussion to have with all of this. But I think we covered like the basics of your squad building. So let's talk about let's just quickly see if we can go through some of these crisis cards and kind of give a quick overview of maybe what you would want your squad to do with them. Do you think we could do that quickly? I think we could.
Yeah, we can try.
Yeah, A for effort. All right, so starting with our secure crisis, we already talked about the Riot Spark over Extremis 3.0, so your Extremis consoles. I think that's a crisis that a lot of people like, but it's not one that you're going to make your money off of, so to speak. Like, sitting on a couple of consoles is great, but that's just is what it is, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So now let's go to one of my personal favorites, and that would be the Deadly Meteors Mutate Civilians. So,
I love Deadly Meteors.
I love it.
It's fun, isn't it?
It is so much fun. And I like the difficulty of it in a lot of ways, because you have to roll dice to take control of the thing, and then it's energy defense, so you have to factor that in when you're rolling the dice.
Yeah.
And then also combine onto that that if there's an enemy character contesting, well, you've got to get more successes.
Yeah.
So I love everything about this crisis. Now, how do you think you want to play this crisis? Like, what would be like kind of if this is a crisis that's coming in?
I think the first thing I'm looking at is who have I got on my team and what energy defenses have they got?
Absolutely. That is the first question that I look at is, all right, I need at least 3 energy defense, but I want to try to have 4 energy defense. And that's another thing when you're talking about building a roster is the crises that you build your roster around.
Yeah.
I think also factors in as well. But that's a discussion for another time. So definitely the energy defense, and also people that are a little hardy, people that are able to take a punch.
Yeah. Someone like, for example, Hela.
Exactly. She's a very good choice for this one. I think the Asgardians in general really love the deadly meteors.
Mm.
So
I've not seen a lot of Hela played in games. Not that I play a lot of games around here because I live in the middle of nowhere, but online I've not seen Hela in a lot of games, which is strange because she's so strong.
Yeah, I think that it's just one of those things where there's just so many other toys. You know what I mean? There's so many other things out there. And what she does, I mean, she is an assassin.
Mm.
And I think that when, this is just guessing, I don't know, I can't speak to how other people build their lists, but I think that people would prefer to have other types of assassins versus Hela, even though I really like Hela a lot. I think she's a very strong character and you have to account for her.
Certainly. So,
but she's expensive for, you know, considering she's 4 threats. So, you know, you have to look at it from a, what am I losing in order to gain this character? And if I'm playing Avengers, well, I've got Captain Marvel, who's in affiliation, that is also 4 threat.
Mm.
So I think that's maybe why you haven't seen as much of her, but I think when people play Asgard, they play her.
Mm. I may just be sheltered. It's entirely possible.
That's totally what it is. You're in your little box and you need to come out of it.
In my little South Cumbrian hole where no one plays Marvel Crisis Protocol for a 100-mile radius.
Oh, man, yeah, you need to fix that.
I live in the countryside, deep in the hills.
Deep, deep in the hills.
That's it.
So, after thinking about it, we probably shouldn't go through every one of these crises. That's an undertaking. But
sure. Just maybe pick out one or two.
Yeah, so let's talk about the Worthy. The fear grips the world as the Worthy terrorize the citizens. So that's an extraction one. That's Hammers, as everyone affectionately calls it. And there's 4 Hammers on the table, and they're set up exactly like the Extremist consoles in that diamond shape. Yep. So you essentially can get one right off the bat because it's right next to your deployment zone.
Yeah.
But after that, things get a little interesting. Now, how would you think that you need to have a squad configured to make the most out of the Hammers?
I think you've got to look at what the Hammers do. The Hammers add 1 die to the attack roll on the character that's holding it. So there's no point in putting that on a defensive character. You want that on someone who's going to go out to deal damage anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I think. But also someone who you're not planning on using to pay for team tactics cards because it increases the cost of the cards if they're holding armor as well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that it's someone that... And what's funny is because when you say that, the character that's holding the hammer being aggressive, they're likely to gain a lot of power.
Yeah, well, that's true.
So, well, I agree with you, though, that you want the hammer to be on someone that you don't necessarily want to be playing tactics cards, but maybe that you want tactics cards to be played onto.
Mm, yeah, certainly. I didn't phrase myself too well.
I think you actually said it really well. But this one, for me, you absolutely have to take control of these hammers. I mean, obviously, like, that's obvious, but, like, if there's a way, and I know that there are some plays out there that people like where you can take your opponent's hammer that they weren't expecting you to grab.
Yeah.
that's really huge. And when you have your squad out, you want characters like Killmonger or Valkyrie that are already strong, but that get to the point when they have a hammer where they can really annihilate people. Like they can really just go over and one shot a Doc Ock, potentially. Mm. It's hard still. He's a hardy boy, but a character that I like having a hammer on is Green Goblin.
Yep.
Because when you put a hammer on Green Goblin, all of a sudden his 4-dice pumpkin bomb on his healthy side is now 5-dice. It gets you a almost 50% chance, I think, to score the wild on a roll at that point. I think it's 48% chance, I believe. I haven't looked at the Jarvis lately, but it's a pretty good chance to score the wild to apply those conditions. So if I'm building a roster, and I know that this is, we've kind of gone back and forth on roster and squad in this episode, but if I'm building a roster, I want the hammers to be on my list because I want to be able to get that, because it helps, you know, it's going to help with what I want to do. You know what I mean? And it's going to, if I've got Spider Foes roster, that's what I want. And another thing I think you want with this is, like you said, you don't want anyone too defensive, but at the same time, I think that some of those more defensive characters that have a hammer on them get a lot more interesting.
True. You tend to find with some of the more defensive characters, their attacks might be, their basic attack might be a strength 4 instead of a strength 5, and that one die can make a difference. So yeah, maybe you're right, getting that hammer onto one of them sort of doing a more average basic attack can make a big difference.
Exactly. Like I think that a very good example of this is in Avengers when you have a Captain America, right? You get a hammer on Captain America, his shield throw is now suddenly significantly better. Yeah, it's still physical, but man, 5 dice versus 4
of attacks.
I know, right? He's just there to use his shield to block people.
The upper side of his card is entirely blank, sir.
Right, yeah, that upper part, it's, there's nothing there, it doesn't exist. Yeah.
He's got character stats, and then a day unlike any other, and then superpowers, that's all.
You're probably right. I mean, you know, that's basically how I look at him when I'm playing Captain America. If I'm attacking with Captain America, something's weird.
Feels wrong.
It does. So, yeah, I guess to tie it all up, to wrap it all up.
Yes.
I think when you're looking at your squad building, maybe, you know, this is a hard discussion to have without having like a roster to say, okay, here's my roster, here's what I'm going to do. And maybe we'll come back and do that another time. But when you're building a squad, using the information you have available to you is very important. And I think that a lot of times you have more information than you might think.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you've got the you've got the information that comes on the crisis card. So you know kind of what configuration the battle is going to be in and what is important in those battles. You know where your points are going to come from. And so I think that is where you start. And then you also have the information. It's all open information as to what's in someone's roster. And I don't know about you, but I know most people build a roster around a specific theme. Now, there is some variation in there, but it's generally kind of a theme. There's kind of a glaring thing that most people want to do within their roster, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, a lot of the time the most obvious theme is going to be the affiliation that they're wanting to run.
Exactly, and if you see Black Order in there, you know they're going to try to kill your ass.
Truth.
I mean, use that information. You can use that information when you're trying to build your squad and when you're trying to choose how to engage in the battle.
Yeah. For example, there with the Black Order, it was quite a low model count affiliation because they're all so expensive. So maybe you want to flood the field with loads of cheap characters.
Yeah.
Because they can't attack everyone.
Exactly. And that's actually something that I really love is whenever I see an opponent that brings 3, maybe 4 characters, like I am the kind of player I like to out-activate Because if I can have last activation, I know I can secure at least a couple extra victory points that way. And maybe I won't have last activation the whole game because someone's going to get dazed when I maybe didn't want them to. But my three threat characters are going to be able to harass those more expensive characters enough, maybe catch a daze, that I think I can. I'm in a good position if I can bring five or even six models into the game.
Yeah. All hail Nebula.
All hail Nebula. That's right. The best assassin character in the game. Fight me on it.
I will not fight you. She's great to play.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. So, anyways, with that, David, I want to say thank you so much for being with me today. I hope that you found this enjoyable. I hope that all the suits out there found this discussion interesting. I know it's a little different than what we normally do. It was kind of a little more free form than how we normally do things. And I hope that y'all enjoyed it. And I want to get into some more tactical discussions soon. I need to get some more games in. Not that I don't have I actually got to play recently, so that was a lot of fun. I did the Thanos Ultimate Encounter. Yeah, it was great. So
with people.
Yeah, with people. I did it with people. We were wearing masks. It was awesome.
Real people, Will.
Yes, real people that I created in my head, okay?
Still counts.
It still counts. But no, I went out to the shop. It was great. We had a good time. And I'm kind of working on getting some more games going here soon. But either way, I really want to get into some more tactics talk and kind of help out maybe some new players, maybe some more experienced players with ways that they can maximize what some of these characters do and stuff. So we'll try to get that going a little bit more soon amidst our character discussions. And yeah, where can people find you, David?
I am on the place where the thing is. I have a blog. It is at, let me type it in because I never have to go on my own blog.
Some typing music.
Here we go. The blog is called Inspiring Monologue, after the team tactics card Inspiring Monologue, although probably should have called it Battle List. And the address is https://// inspiringmonologue.home.blog. Totally bizarre address to have a website on, but that's what WordPress gave me and that's what I'm stuck with for now.
I like it.
Inspiringmonologue.home.blog.
Cool. Read it. Study. I will say I have found it by just typing in Inspiring Monologue blog in the Google and it works.
Nice. It's if it works on the Bing.
It's right. It's the first Bing result when you type in Inspiring Monologue blog.
How exciting. I'm going
That's to an unintentional now. Rhyme on your part, isn't it? Inspiring Monologue blog?
Yeah, it's exactly as I planned. Definitely.
I thought so.
You're absolutely right. It even works on Bing. Why am I on Bing?
Who uses Bing?
Firefox has let me down and switched to Bing.
Yeah, you gotta get in them settings and fix that. Speaking of settings, we're about to set it off here, so you can find yeah, that's right. You can find us at houseparty protocol pod@gmail.com. We are on Facebook at House Party Protocol Podcast over there. So make sure to check us out over there. If you enjoy this content, make sure to like it, subscribe to it, so you'll be notified immediately when we drop new episodes. And also, don't forget about our giveaway. Again, the ways you can enter that are liking our Facebook page, commenting on the post when I make it, and then also making sure to send us a code word, secret code message on Facebook. Send us a message through Facebook with the secret code. And this week's secret code, yet again, is Spider Foes. And I want to say thank you guys for listening and being here and putting up with all our shenanigans. And we will catch you on the flip side. Party on, David.
And party on, Will.
Power down, suits.